We worship you, we praise you, we magnify you. Lord, we could never praise you enough. We can never thank you enough for Jesus. May his words be said. May his deeds be done. May his glory be made manifest. And Lord, we never tire praying this prayer. Lord, help us get this job done. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, good evening, everyone. It's certainly an honor and a thrill for me to be here. Praise the Lord. Look at you. What a wonderful, wonderful group of people. I'm just so thrilled and honored to be able to minister the word to you. And so, as you know, John said, Pastor Mike's not here. How many know you got a good pastor and good pastor's wife? Yes. Yes. And, Jesus so loved us that he gave pastors above all the ministry gifts. They're all important. But the most important ministry gift in any Christian's life is a pastor. You know, Jesus said it as so. Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, these were multitudes, he was healing, he was teaching, but he said, he looked at them and said, they're scattered as sheep without a shepherd. He didn't say that about any other ministry gift. He didn't say it about the apostle, the prophet, the teacher. He said, sheep are scattered without a shepherd. And so you're just so, so blessed to have such a good shepherd. And I know that you're looking forward to next week when he's back. And as you know, I'm not half the speaker he is. And so I thank you for enduring me tonight. And with that thought, with that note, is there anybody here, anybody, that has never heard me before? Okay, good. That is good. So is there anybody that's a visitor here tonight? You've never been here. Wonderful, wonderful. That way I don't need to behave. I have a little bit more liberty, you know, because I can get away with some things. But when there's visitors in the house, we especially want to be careful. So with that being said, I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And it's good to see us, see some folks I haven't seen in a while. It's good to have Pastor Ray from Wellsville here and John Julie being trained up, you know, in the work of the Lord. I'm just so thrilled about that. Praise the Lord. And of course, got some of my Fredonia folks. Thank you for coming. And all of you, praise the Lord. I'm just, again, just humbled that anyone would come to hear me speak. But tonight, I have some something that I want to share with you that I believe will help and bless you. For the past couple of years, I've been ministering along this line, and I believe that the Lord gave me an assignment to do so. I believe in speaking what the Lord has to say. You know, you read in the book of Revelation, Jesus over and over said this, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. You know, any pastor, any minister could just kind of whip up a sermon or something they like to teach on, or maybe they get inspired reading something and minister along that line. And it's good and right, but I've always endeavored to hear what God has to say. What is he saying to me? What is he saying to the local church? What is he saying to the body of Christ? And this is something that the Lord over and over again has had me speak on. And very often when I get into spirit and prayer, I pray along these lines. And evidently it's very important to the Lord, and we're going to see it's very important to us. I want to talk to you tonight about the importance of living light and easy. Light and easy. And I saw some things concerning this that I never saw before. I've always thought this was kind of an option, you know, that Jesus gave us invitation to live his type of life. His type of life is light and easy, and to have victory, to have joy, to have peace in this Christian walk. And I always saw it as an invitation that, you know, some Christians, you know, want that for their lives. Other Christians just kind of go from one crisis to another. They suffer and they think that's God's will for them. And, you know, just kind of, well, if you want a good life or a bad life, it's up to you, but it really doesn't matter to the Lord. But evidently it does matter to the Lord. And so we're going to see that in Matthew chapter 11. And so let's go ahead and read here. Matthew 11. And starting with verse 28. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Again, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives us an invitation. And, and this invitation is to all of us, all of you that are heavy laden, all of you that are in trouble, all of you that life is beating you up and chewing you out. He gives an invitation, come to me. Come to me. And it's sad that religion has taught us that, man, if you serve the Lord, it's so rough, it's so tough. God's going to put stuff on you. He's going to make you go through things, and life will be really hard. If you just hold on to the end, you'll get to go to heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not the invitation Jesus gives. If Jesus were to give us rough and tough, we might as well just serve the devil, because we know he gives us rough and tough. But Jesus gives us an invitation to all of us. All of you that are heavy laden, all of you that are troubled, come to me and I will give you rest. And he said this, that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And that's where we get the phrase, light and easy. And over again, the Spirit of God, when praying for people and praying for churches, a lot of people have cares. A lot of people have worries. A lot of people are downtrodden and just, you know, under a cloud of oppression. And Jesus doesn't want any of his children to be oppressed. He doesn't want any of his children to suffer such hardships that they go through life. You know, maybe this will help you. I don't know, growing up, I used to love Winnie the Pooh. How many like Winnie the Pooh? Everyone loves him. How many don't know who Winnie the Pooh is? Sometimes I bring these out just to get people sparked up. So, oh my, another sermon. But sometimes when kids hear Winnie the Pooh, this man knows something from God. Well, there are two outstanding characters in Winnie the Pooh, extreme opposites. There's someone called Mr. Eeyore. You remember Eeyore? A favorite, you know. He never a smile on his face, always looking down. Thanks for noticing me. You know, life is rough. Life is tough. This always happens to me. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians like that. Go from one crisis to another, and they're sad. And see, this is why Jesus said, come unto me. And you know what Jesus wants to do? He wants to get that Eeyore spirit off of you. And you know what kind of spirit he wants you to have? Is a Tigger spirit. You know, a wonderful thing about Tiggers, what Tiggers can do, they bounce and bounce, 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 you know. But that ought to be us. Why? The Bible talks about the joy of our salvation and everything the Lord has done for us. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. I don't know about you, but when I see Eeyore, I don't see a conqueror. I see the conquered. I don't see a victor. I see a victim. And so Jesus gives us an invitation. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And like I said before, I always looked at this as optional. You know, some people choose it, some people don't. And thank God, whether we choose it or not, we all go to heaven if we believe on the Lord. But I saw some things from the Lord that really stirred me and really corrected my thinking. I was in a prayer meeting. And very often people, ministers, come and pray with my wife and I. And I was in a prayer meeting with a certain pastor, and my wife was there. And we're praying. We pray, you know, for the move of God in the world. We pray for the family churches, you know. You're always prayed for by myself. And so we're there praying. And guess what happened in that prayer meeting? The Holy Ghost interrupted my prayer meeting. Have you ever had the Holy Ghost interrupt your prayer meeting? Here we're just praying, and you know, we're you know, working up some lather. We're praying, oh God, do this, and we're praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes unto me. The audible voice of the Spirit says, stop. Stop praying. And so, you know, oh, did we do something wrong? And he said this, have these two ladies write down what you're about to say. And so I told them to stop, and they looked at me, well, we're here to pray. You know, the Holy Ghost said to stop and to write down what I'm about to say. So they're getting their recorders on, their pencils out. I have no idea what I'm going to say. And if the Holy Ghost were to leave me, I'd say, well, you know, that's a bad job. And then for about 10 to 15 minutes, I begin to prophesy, begin to talk about the body of Christ, the end time move of God. But specifically, the Lord said this, that ministers and people can go no further in life. They've been believing me, they've been asking me for things, to do things for them, but I cannot give it to them. I cannot promote them unless they get these three things in order in their life. Now, would you like to find out what those three things are? That's not my sermon tonight. I'm sorry. You'll have to come some other time. But the first thing was the most important thing he stressed. That I am going to share with you tonight. And that he said this, the importance of my people having personal freedom. And what he meant by personal freedom, he kept using this phrase about living life light and easy. And he began to unveil and unfold the scriptures like never before, that he began to show me that really, if you're not living light and easy, at peace and joy, you're really in disobedience. I never saw that before. Because the Bible says what's not of faith is sin. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Bible says let the peace of God rule in your heart. And you know, when you're troubled and you're full of worry and full of anxiety and you're worrying about this and you're worrying about that, that is a violation of everything God commands us to do. And I just thought, well, they're just struggling, need to overcome. But I saw it was actual disobedience. The Holy Ghost is revealing this to me. And I said, oh my, God forgive us all. And so, you know, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And then he began to get on us ministers. And says many times ministers pray and they want more anointing, they want bigger churches, they want increase, but they're not faithful enjoying where they are now. Wow. And they're troubled about this, they're troubled about that, and they keep asking me for more, and yet they're not faithful in what they have now. How many that can apply to all of us? You know, if we're complaining about our car, we're complaining about our house, we're complaining about this, we're complaining about our job, how many of you know that's not faith? That's not light and easy. That's disobedience. And those very attitudes, or that Eeyore spirit, will keep you from getting to more. And for 10, 15 minutes, you begin to unveil and unfold this. And I'm sitting there dumbfounded, but I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost. I never saw that before. How crucial, how imperative it is for light and ease. And I saw it was also the key to answer prayer. I'm reminded, I'm not saying a good friend, I'm more friends with this man's pastor, but he's a missionary. And he's in Africa, but he went on a missions trip with Pastor Nancy Dufresne to Russia. And he's a wonderful man of God. And Pastor Nancy was ministering in Russia on the sin of worry. And worry is a sin. We think it's just something we all overcome. No, worry is a sin. If you treat it as a sin, then you'll know not to touch it. And she was ministering on the sin of worry. And then God just showed up. The glory showed up. Now, Pastor Nancy didn't see Jesus, didn't see anything. But, you know, you can sense the glory of God. You can sense the presence of God. And as she closed the service, this minister, who I know is a wonderful man of God, was bawling his eyes out. Was crying and weeping uncontrollably. And, you know, folks are wondering what's wrong with him. And when he was able to compose himself and gather himself, he said this to the group of ministers, Jesus walked in the service. I saw Jesus, and he walked in, and Jesus was crying. He was crying. And he said this to me, how often I want to answer my children's prayers. How often I want to do things for them. But this is the very reason why I can't, because they're fearful, they're worried, and it stops me from able to do anything for them. How I long to do things for my kids, but they won't let me because they're fearful, they're worried over it. And see, sometimes we think, well, Lord, you know, it's all right, I worry, you'll bypass it. But you have to understand this according to your faith being unto you. When there's worry, when there's anxieties, when there's cares, when there's troubles, when you're walking that will short circuit your faith. So again, this is just a little taste. Already you see how important lightness is. How to be being full of joy, being that tigger, is not only make you feel better going through life, it really allows God to do things in your life. And so we want to talk in our little bit of time together about light and easy. Now, you may be wondering, you may be asking here tonight, how in the world do we walk in the light and easy? Would you like to know? Well, that's why I'm here tonight. I'm going to teach you how to be light and easy. Yes, we are going to minister the Tigger spirit here tonight. We're going to be lots of bouncing people. No more Eeyores in our life, all right? And so, of course, Jesus, first of all, says this. Number one, come to me. You know, to be light and easy, you got to come to him. You know, a lot of people, first thing they do is go to people. When they have a problem, they go talk to people. Talk to me, what you think you should do? What should I do? No, come to me. A lot of people looking in the internet, trying to get counsel from the internet and so forth. There's nothing wrong with research and so forth, but that ought not to take the place of first coming to him. Coming to him. Whenever we're facing something, whenever we're going to the situation, the first thing we go is to the rock that is higher than us. So Jesus said, come to me. Because unless we come to him, we can't get answers. If we're looking in the internet, we're asking everybody else, we're more or less turning our back on Jesus and looking for answers through everything else but him. So come to him. You're going through something. You're facing something. You don't know what to do. Jesus said, come. And notice what he said. He said this, I will give you rest. Then he gives us an invitation, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know what that means? Learn my ways. Learn my ways. And he said, if you learn my ways, he says this, you'll find rest to your souls. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he wants you to have rest. He wants you to enjoy light and easy. But before we really can get into this, we have a wrong concept of what light and easy is. Because a lot of times what we think, in order for me to have joy, oops, for in order for me to, that's powerful. Next time you doze off, I'm going to go like that. Yeah, yeah. We think that we must have an absence of problems in order for us to enjoy our life. And as long as you believe that and think that, you'll never enjoy this type of life. Because too many times our prayers have been this, God, get that out of my life. God, change that situation. God, change my husband, change my wife. For heaven's sake, change my children. You know, change my boss. Get this, do this. And we're not happy. We're not at rest and not at peace unless that goes away. And see, we have to cancel that type of thinking because that's not faith. That's not what light and easy is. You ever heard something called Psalm 23? Everyone loves it. I was just reading that on the way here. What? The Lord is my shepherd. I like this part. I shall not want or shall not lack. He leadeth me beside still waters. You know, and it goes on and on. And I love he restores my soul. If you've been beat up and chewed out in your emotions, you come to him, he's going to restore that. And he says this, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't like that part. No, God, no, don't. I don't want to go that way. Get rid of that. No, I want the peaceful waters only. No, don't, no. I can't be happy if I go through there. No, it says, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, what? I fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. So even you go, remember, it said in Isaiah, when you walk us through the waters, I'll be with thee. The fires, you're not overcome. You'll go through some things. But God wants you to learn to enjoy it when you're going through it. Not waiting for it to go away. But back to Psalm 23. It says this, thou preparest a table before me, where? In the absence of my enemies. That's how we pray. That's what we want. No enemies. I can finally sit down. Finally, I can be at rest. I can be happy. I can be joyful because all of my enemies, all my situations are done. Finally, I can be at rest. No. Jesus wants you to learn of him. That way, when your enemies, all the bad things that come up, that you're just sitting down enjoying yourself while it's going on. I know next week Pastor Mike will come and you... But I'm telling you, this is vitally important. But so many times we're praying, God, change the problem. What we need to do is change our perspective of the problem. That we need to learn to sit at the table in the presence of our enemies. Remember Jesus said this, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That sounds like an easy, right? And so Jesus said, I'm going to leave you my peace. Do you ever read when Jesus was in a boat with his disciples? And he told his disciples, let us pass over to the other side. And guess what Jesus did? He did a very spiritual thing. He took a nap. He fell asleep. I have anointing when I preach. A lot of people do that when I preach. See, that's what the anointing will do. And if they do fall asleep, guess what I'm going to do? Yeah, and jump up. And what happened when they were on the boat? A storm came and rocked their boat. Winds blew. And what were the disciples? They were toiling in the storm. Oh my God, the storm blew harder. This is horrible. They were panicking. And finally, they cried out to the Lord in fear. Lord, save us. Lord, help us. Don't you care we perish? And so they wake Jesus up, and Jesus gets cobwebs out of his eyes, and we know what he did. He said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And, you know, a lot of people read that and say, man, it's a good thing they have Jesus in the boat. But Jesus turned to them and says, why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid? See, Jesus fully expected them in the storm, in this test and trial, to be living it light and easy. Jesus was sleeping during the storms. Jesus didn't rebuke the storm for himself. The storm had no effect on him. Jesus understood light and easy. No matter what goes on, he enjoys his life. He is sleeping in the storm. The same storm the disciples are panicking in. See, Jesus wants all of us to learn that. Thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies. I know we rather have Jesus rebuke the storm. We rather have Jesus remove our enemies. But you have to understand, when you learn to live in light and easy, it doesn't matter what happens. You become a grease pole to Satan. Or a grease pig, whichever one. I prefer a pole. If you want to be a pig, you can be a pig, but I want to be a pole. You understand what that means? They have competitions where they try to climb up a pole and it's grease. They can't get up there. Or, you know, I guess down south they grease pigs and you can try to grab a pig. I prefer not to use that. But if you want to use a pig, that's fine. You just had nothing on them. Jesus said this, that the prince of this world cometh and he has nothing on me. Brothers and sisters, that's your lot in life. every circumstance, every test, every trial, every challenge in life. Too much of the time we've been like the disciples. Oh God! We get tossed with the storm. Oh God, help me, help me. Oh, this is so rough. This is so tough. But yet Jesus is going through the exact same thing they are. And you sleep on a pillow. See, he wants us to enjoy life no matter what we're going through. And, you know, being a grease pig or a grease pole, when Satan tries to huff and puff and blow your house down, and you're just, I think I'm going to take a nap. Oh, this is the day the Lord has made. And this is so wonderful. This is great. He's going to beat himself in exhaustion. He says, I have nothing on them. Because where there's no fear, there's no panic, he has no entrance into your life. And so we're talking about light and easy, but we have to understand this. I'm talking about doing this when the storm is there. Doing this when the devil is like the three little pigs. I'm going to huff and puff and what? Blow your house down, and you're just singing from the chandeliers. You're just, light and easy. You're enjoying the ride. It says, I think it's time for a nap. Rather than all night pacing the floor, wringing your hands, searching the internet. What am I going to do? Calling friends. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, my God, what do you think? What should I do, Edwin? What should I do? I need some help here. God is my refuge. God is my fortress, an ever-present help in trouble. David said this, I will not be afraid if a troop of 10,000 people come against me. Why? Because he knows God will take care of him. That same God will take care of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, you've got Jesus on the inside. And he wants to be loosed in you. And you know part of Jesus? He likes to sleep in the storm. He likes to yawn in the face of trouble. He likes, you know, someone ought to write a song like this. Someone ought to write a song, singing in the rain. Yes. You know, and if it isn't copyrighted, I invite you to go ahead and write a song, singing in the rain. See, this is what Jesus wants you to do. Too often, we've been asking God to get rid of our problems. And the reason he can't is because we're afraid. We're panicking. And the Lord also showed me this. Remember when Jesus was in the boat and his disciples were panicking and afraid? Notice they couldn't rebuke the storm. Why? They were afraid. Why could Jesus rebuke the storm? He was in a place of light and easy and peace. Same thing in our life. If we're panicking, if we're troubled, you know, we can say in the name of Jesus all night long, nothing's going to happen because we're saying out of fear and panic. But when we're enjoying the ride, feasting in the presence of the storm of our enemies, and you yawn a little bit, well, I think this has gone far enough. Peace, be still. Satan will bow his knee to you. So light and easy. Are you ready? Ready how to live the Tigger kind of life? Give up the Eeyore kind of life. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. How to live light and easy. How to master in life. How to have victory all the time. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds. I truly believe right here we have the secret of having victory every day of our life. How to enjoy our life. How to feast in the presence of our enemies. How to sleep in the storm. Here, the Bible gives us three absolutes. You know what absolutes are? That's do this and nothing else. What are the three absolutes? In these verses, number one, rejoice always. That's an absolute, isn't it? Always. Doesn't say most of the time. It means in good and bad and ugly. You rejoice always. I don't know, to me that looks like a Tigger spirit. Hey! Number two, careful for nothing. Another absolute. That means don't have a care. We know that's worry, anxious, fretting about nothing. Nothing qualifies for you to be upset or worried about it. Wow. Then it says, in everything, by prayer, supplication, and what? Thanksgiving. Other places says giving thanks. Always for all thanks. This is the will of God. So, the key to light and easy is number one, you rejoice all the time. Number two, you don't let anything worry you. And number three, give thanks for all things. You'll become a grease pole, a grease pig if you want, but I like the pole. You'll become a Tigger spirit. Now, I could close the service right now and say, just do those things. Good night, dismissed, and go home. And you'll sit there, well, how do I do that? So I got 10 minutes. And so in 10 minutes, I got to cover these three things. So we believe in miracles. The first thing, the Bible says to rejoice in the Lord always. I tell you, if you can just do that one, you'll overcome 95% of things in life. To rejoice always. Now, in case of you thought, well, but what about this? And then he said, and again I say, rejoice. So if you think of something that you can't rejoice about, he says this clause, and again I say, rejoice. You know what that means? That means in the good. How many know it's easy? It's easy when the sun is shining. It's easy when you have money in the bank. It's easy when you feel well and people are very nice to you. You rejoice. But it means in the good, the bad, and if you know this, it dates you, and the ugly. You're to rejoice. Most people don't do that. See, you are to rejoice in the presence of your enemies. That's what causes them to bow before Jesus and His Word. You know, in Philippians 1:28 says this, in nothing be terrified of your adversaries. You know what that means? Don't ever let the devil see you sweat or be afraid or be anxious. And you know what he says? In nothing let your enemies see you terrified. When you're like that, when, no matter if they try to huff and puff, and you're just singing, you're rejoicing, you're glad, and Satan's doing his worst to put you down, and you're singing, he begins to sink. And says that's an evident token of his perdition. That means he is going down, and you're going up. Just by rejoicing and being glad. And sometimes you have to start in faith. I can't tell you how many times I went from tragedy to triumph simply by doing the Word. I'm going to tell you a quick story about Faith Man. I was Faith Man. Now that's my secret identity. For years, this happened many years ago. I would drive to Tulsa, Oklahoma to go to camp meeting here, Brother Hagin. I'd save up vacation time, save up my money, and to go. And I did this for years and years. Some people go to you know, other places. I wanted the Word. And so I used my vacation time to go hear Brother Hagin. You know, of course, he taught faith. And, you know, I thought to myself, you know what? We've been driving. It's a 20-hour straight ride, you know, and I have a little car. I'm just going to believe next time, I'm going to fly and rent a car. I'm putting my faith out there. And so I confess that next year, I'm going to buy an airplane ticket. I'm going to fly down there, and I'm going to rent a car. You know, faith man. My cape is blowing, yes. And when the year came, I bought a plane ticket. I had reserved a rental car, and I had so many hundreds of dollars to eat and to give in the offerings. I tell you, my cape was waving that day I walked into the airport. There was a strut in my walk. Now, if you're in the MMA, you know who walks like this. If you don't, he that's ignorant, be ignorant still. Or if you're into wrestling, the Ric Flair strut. All right. And of course, I flew down to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Land, and my cape was flying. I go up to the rental car and says, I believe you have a reservation for Michael Lukatic. Yes, sir, Mr. Lukatic, we have this reservation. And I was quoted something like $150 for the week. Bless God, I had that in cash. And so they didn't know the paperwork. Well, that will be, it was almost $400. Oh, excuse me. I believe there's a mistake there. I was quoted like $150. Says that is correct. But because you're under 25, you have to have all the insurances and so forth. And so with that, it was 300 something, was more than doubled. And you know what happened? My cape stopped flying. In my head, if I pay this, I have nothing to eat. I have nothing to give. What am I going to do? And I certainly couldn't walk. And so I had to do it. Thank God you could put it on a credit card. They wouldn't take cash. And all that time, I'm thinking, oh my God. All my money, all my faith, all I believe for is going to rent a car. I was supposed to go to Brother Hagin. I was going to go eat out once. This ain't fair. They should have told me. And so I'm driving to the place I'm staying. And my rent car, the engine light comes on too. This shouldn't be happening to me. What? The storm is on. And I'm acting like most Christians do in the storm. And I'm driving. I'm driving and I call them and says, engine light is on. It didn't appear like it was smoking, but he says, well, you're going to have to return it and so forth. And so I'm going to go drop my stuff off and return it or something like that. And you have to understand, Tulsa, Oklahoma, you can never get lost. From the airport to where I was staying, every mile is blocked off by 1 mile from the airport is 11th Street, then 21st Street is another mile. And so I have 7 miles to go. And here my cape stopped flying, and I'm oppressed, and I'm a victim. I feel so sorry for myself. All this is happening to me. Why is this happening to me? Don't judge me, because you do this very often yourself. And so I'm up to like 21st Street, and I'm just, oh God, why? And then about 31st Street, I have this revelation. You know, I did go to Bible school. They did teach me faith. The Bible does say I'm more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Here, I'm conquered by $150, $200. Now that was big. That's about $2,000 today, you know, like that. And I just knew. What the word says, rejoice in the Lord always. And so at 31st Street, I begin to say, praise the Lord. Just about with that much spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I had that Eeyore spirit. I had that Eeyore spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I get to about 41st Street. I still feel like Eeyore, but I know the word works. And so from 41st to 50, I begin to say, praise God, then something started to happen. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible says that He'll give you a spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness, a garment of joy for oppression. And when I got to 51st Street, I started feeling better. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then by the time I get to 61st Street, whoo, I'm feeling good. Someone ought to write a song about that. Boom. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just smile and say, he's odd. When's Pastor Mike coming back? And I kid you not, by the time I was getting to 71st Street, I am jumping up and down in my car. Woo-hoo! I'm shouting and screaming. And what would happen, I'm magnifying God, and that looks like now such a small problem. And I feel good. Da-na-na-na-na. Yeah. And here I turned a tragedy into a triumph. I rejoiced my way out of it. And I was feeling so good. I felt better now than when faith man was, the cape was falling before this. And you can do that in every test and trial. And so I had to take the rental car back, and I'm feeling great. And it says, you know what? We don't have any. We're going to give you the best car for your inconvenience. And so here I am with this European sports car, driving around, feeling good. Now you may say, well, that's immaterial. Every day things happen like that to you. And you have a choice to make. Be in Eeyore, just respond, oh my God, or you can rejoice in the Lord always. And the Bible says this, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. I'm just turning the clock. I just got started. If you'll just rejoice. Remember, Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. You have to understand, there weren't no facilities there. Chained, they were beaten, it was dark, there's mice, it's unclean, it's unsanitary. If anybody had a right to complain, be them. I mean, they're obeying God. They could have just, Silas could have said to Paul, I knew I shouldn't have followed you. I mean, people hate you. And wherever we go, people stone us. I'm not going to follow you. And then Paul said, you know, I sure miss God. I don't understand why God's doing this to me. I had the man in Macedonia experience. I was supposed to do this. I wonder what God's doing this to me. You're right. Like, it doesn't pay to serve God. They could have said that. But you read in the scriptures that Paul and Silas prayed and what? Begin to sing praises of God, the joy of the Lord. And they begin to praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. And what happened? They begin to praise God that all of a sudden the jail began to shake. And every man's bands were loosed. See, you can break bands. You're oppressed, you can break bands. Your heaviness, you can break bands. When things try to constrict you, when there's walls, walls will fall down. You may have prayed, you may have tried to have hands laid on you, but like the walls of Jericho, they fall down when you begin to shout and praise and dance about glory to God. Rejoice in the Lord always, always. Now, my time has slipped away. I don't have time to do the other two. I just don't. But let me give you one more, because if you could at least do this part, you'll have victory all your days. Amen. I mean, you'll be bouncing like a ticker. Folks are saying, what are you taking? I want some of that. Yeah. And you says, I'm taking Jesus. I'm taking Jesus. Glory to God. True story. The previous pastor that I served, when the church was BCF, I served him for 7 years. He told me the story. And this was before I came on. He had a daughter, beautiful daughter. Then a couple years later, he had a son. And I mean, having a child is supposed to be a joyful, beautiful thing for those of you that are parents. And it ought to be just, you know, a joyful time. Oh, I have a baby, I have a baby. You know, that type of thing. Well, the thing you never want to hear from the doctors and nurses that there's something wrong with your baby. I mean, there's no greater terror for a parent to hear such news. and you got news that there's something wrong with your baby, and you can't take your baby home, that it is a very serious. And I'm not sure what, you know, there's a nurse here. I don't know what it would be, but we're going to have to give your baby a blood transfusion. I mean, just think, having a baby and hearing that, and no doubt the devil will bring you thoughts of your child's going to die, there's going to be something wrong with their child. And there was a heavy cloud on him, you know, and he left. There's nothing he could do in the hospital, and he went home with this cloud on him. Oh my. And the Lord began to say, begin to play the piano and sing unto me. Of course, he didn't want to. He wanted to cry. He wanted to be upset. And so he began on the piano and began to play. And he started off in faith. He didn't want to play. Then he began to sing. He didn't want to sing. He wanted to cry. And he began to play and sing. And that went on for some time, that after, you know, several minutes, I don't know how long it was, 10, 15 minutes, the joy of the Lord began to spring up on him. See, the Bible says he'll give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He was heavy. And he started to feel good. And he began to play and began to sing. And after a while, he was beside himself. You know, I don't know what that's what they do on pianos. And he was just singing. And he was just so full of joy. And he was delighting himself in the Lord. Forgot about his problems, delighting in him. You know, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. And what is he going to do? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Too many times we're begging, bawling, and squalling. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. And so he began to delight. I mean, saying, of course, the spirit of heaviness left him. And he was enjoying life. And he just, you know, and he was a dancer. You remember how he used to dance? You know, big guy. He'd begin to dance around and so forth. Well, he gets a call from the hospital. He says, we don't understand it, but you can take your son home. Your son's well. Well, that was a coincidence. It was a God coincidence. That's just as much as coincidence as all the jail shaking and everyone's bamboozled. That's just a coincidence. No. God gives us the ability to shake off heaviness, to enjoy our life. And it's something every one of us can do. He gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You too can be a Tigger if the price is right. Bible here, that clock says my time is over. I don't have time to get to the other two, but I guarantee you this. If you'll do this, life will be fun. Life will be great. Life will be easy. Oh, give me 5 more minutes. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. I've been to hell and back several times. Because of my calling and because of who I am, the attacks. And there's something. If you've been held back, you know the word works. I've been in places that I've been in meetings. And all of a sudden, it seems like every demon in hell jumps on me. Oppression and you know, here I'm in a meeting, and all of a sudden oppression and the devil knows that I can't make a spectacle in a meeting. I can't sit up, get off me, Satan, and begin to dance around. The ushers will escort me very sweetly. And this is a Randy Greer meeting. This is happening to me. Yeah. So don't tell me I have a target on my back. I've been to hell and back too many times. I've done this too many times to say that I've proven this works. And so here, I'm oppressed. It's like, it is so heavy. And I smile and says, you wait till I get back to my hotel room. And so it's there. I'm doing the resisting all I can, but I know the only thing that can drive that off is joy and delighting in God and feasting in the presence of my enemies. So the meeting's over, you know, I'm oppressed.
It's on me big time. It's so thick you can cover my life. And I say to my wife, we're in a hotel room, he says, excuse me, I'm going to the bathroom. And so I say, okay, Mr. Devil, you thought you were pretty smart hitting me there. I'm going to make you suffer for it. And I begin to praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. Did I feel like it? No, I felt like crying or dying. And I says, no, praise God. Right in the presence of my enemies, right in his face, I was doing this. Yes, nothing intimidated me. And I begin to praise him. Because I know that there is no bondage. There is no yoke, no oppression can stand up for the oil of joy in my life. And I begin to praise God. So I'm there 10, 15 minutes and woo! I feel good. Da-na-na-na-na. And all of a sudden that oppression comes off of me. And I'm woo! Glory to God. And the oppression leaves. I say, no, you don't. You stay in here. I spoke that to him. And you sit down. And I made it sit down, and I made him listen to me, praise God, for another 10 minutes. Woo! Glory to God! I made him, hallelujah! And I looked at his eye and just started doing the dancing, and I made him, feel bad forever trying to mess with me. See, you're more than a conqueror. You're more than conquerors. And this is just one tool. We haven't even got to the other two. Maybe next time, next year when Pastor Mike has me, we need the other two. But if you'll do this, you're more than a conqueror. You can face the presence of death and laugh at it. You can do that. Well, give me 5 more minutes. I'm sorry for being long-winded. Jesus fully expected his disciples not to be afraid when the boat was being rocked. All right, they were experienced fishermen. They knew how to swim. They'd been to many storms. This was life-threatening. They said, we're going to die. And sometimes we say, disciple. It's like this. If you're 30,000 feet in the air in an airplane, and all of a sudden you hear a boom, and smoke rolls into the cabin, and the captain comes on and says, oh my God, we're going to die. Jesus fully expects you to be light and easy in that. And you can, because he's in you. If you learn to tap into this. Remember when Jairus' daughter, he comes to Jairus, my daughter's dying, come, lay your hands on her, she'll be healed. And Jesus goes, takes his time, of course. Never in a hurry, never in a rush. You know, hi, how are you? And people, talking, he's talking, Mom, Jesus, my daughter died. And then that woman, the issue of blood, ruins it for him. Grabs the hem of his garment. He stops again. Someone touch me. Peter's rolling his eyes. Jairus is saying, oh my God, not again. And who is it? Who is it? And he stops for a testimony meeting. And Jairus, oh, your faith has made you whole. Not, never in a hurry. Never anxious. That's how we ought to be. Never be in a hurry. You know, we need to, any of you got cats? Cats are crazy. You ever open the door for a cat? He wants to go outside. You know what he does? He just sits there and makes you wait. You need to learn to do that to the devil. Never in a hurry. Never anxious. And that's why here the devil's working. Jesus is not in a hurry. Oh my God, I got to hurry up and get to Jairus' house. So he's taking a testimony. And after a testimony, there's people come and says, to Jairus, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. Death. Imagine a parent hearing those words. Death. Of course, he's troubled. What did Jesus say to him? Fear not, only believe. What are you saying? Even if it comes to death, you don't need to be afraid of it. You only believe and you'll master it. And so, okay, Jesus. Okay, Jesus. And what happened? Raises her from the dead. See, this is the key of being masters in life. Next time you go trying to pray your scared prayers, you say, no. Jesus, I got this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo-wee. I'm going to see the glory of God in this. And you get that oppression off you, and then you delight yourself in the Lord. and He'll give you desires of your heart. So I got to stop. You guys have been so good. I'm sorry I went long, but what I like in depth, I go in length. Were you helped? Are you going to do this? Yes. 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 Let's pray. Father, we're just so honored and thrilled that we can come together and hear the word. And Father, this has helped me over and over again. And too many times we let it slide. We think we're victims when we're always a victor. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so, Father, I pray for light and revelation. Father, next time we face a situation, that we walk in our inheritance. We walk in rejoicing. Walk in the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, if the pastor was here, you know what I'd have you do? Do some of your homework. You know, some people can't rejoice in church. How are you going to do it at home? But to begin to joy and rejoice and be glad, I double dog dare you. Go home and, you know, when you're by yourself, don't scare people. And just say, Jesus, I praise you. And do it long enough until you feel good. Yes. What is that? The anointing will hit you. You know, people take drugs because they feel some. See, we have something better than drugs. Yeah. It's called the joy of the Lord. It's called strength. It's called victory and vitality. It only comes by joy when you delight yourself in the Lord. Amen. Before I close, can I take care of some things? Will you allow me? Amen. Pastor Ray, over here. Ha. Yeah, put your hands out. Yes. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. Yeah. See, you pass the test. You're going to enter in the rest. Things will grow and abound. Don't be moved by the tests and temptations of Satan, but abound, abound. And it will be sounded all around of the great things that God is doing through you and through your ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Did you guys get married? Well, come on up. Now that you're married, I can... Come on. I'm just messing with you, but you're helping Pastor Mike. It's notable. You guys are doing a great job. Part of my equipment is concerning ministers and ministries. You'll notice over and over again, I'll tend to lay hands on them first, because part of my equipment, put your hands out. Father, that which is needed, that which is required, this wonderful cup, gone through the fire. Now have your heart's desire. Now, if you're here and you're not privy to that. No, I'm just laying hands. Like Jesus, when the woman with the issue of blood touched his garment, when she touched his garment, power went out of him and to her and healed her. And you know, when you see that, if you ever touched a live wire, it's electricity, but this is Holy Ghost electricity. Guess what? It's not going to hurt them. It's going to help them. It's going to bless them. In Jesus' name. And so if it's kind of, I never saw that before, it's kind of weird, Pastor Mike will be here. Don't leave church over this, because then I won't be invited back, and you're never going to find out the other two things. So it's going to be a lose-lose for both of us. Both of us. Maybe just you two right there. Now again, I just go what the Holy Ghost directs me. Ah, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're very blessed to have a church where the Holy Ghost is allowed to move. His presence is here. Hallelujah. And I don't mean to go long, but need to deliver mail. Now, one last thing. We talked about light and easy. And I gave you your marching orders. It will work. But I've been to hell and back. I've been to a place of suicide that the attacks of Satan were so great. I've been to a place where I didn't think I was going to live. I've been through all that. and the word works. But if you're here and you're going through something and you have seemed to lost your joy, or it seems that life's heavy, there's anointing to help you with that. Again, I cannot do your homework for you, but we can jumpstart that tonight. And so if you're going through something and you'd like me to minister to you, I'm going to open up the front for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And let's just worship the Lord. And if no one comes, then I'll turn it over to John, I believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you and I praise you. I worship you and I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my master. Thank you, Jesus. Light and easy. And again, I know that while I may not want to fall, you don't need to fall. You know, we're not pushing anybody down, you know. But if you're going through something, there's heaviness, get your answer. Get your answer. The woman with the issue of blood went through the crowd. It wasn't comfortable, went through the crowd. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And again, let the anointing help you. Father, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else before I close? Hallelujah. Thank you, my master. Thank you, my master. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, my master. See, Jesus loves us. He wants nothing but total joy, victory, and peace. And the only reason I'm anointed, it's not for myself. This stuff doesn't work on myself. What's on me is to help others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, my master. Thank you, Jesus. We love your presence. We love your presence. We love your presence. Thank you, Lord. No one else is coming with one other thing. Jennifer Hewson. Lord told me to minister to you and to bless you. Is that all right? Two or three times he said that. And so, you like to be blessed. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. We worship you and we praise you. Let's just worship him for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We praise you. We magnify him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's the word that makes us free when we know the truth. And Father, we thank you for the anointing that breaks yokes as well, the word and the spirit. And Father, that's what you said in the last days. You're looking for strong local churches where we allow the moving of the spirit. Father, this house has received me. And Father, I let my anointing rest upon these precious people. I bless this house. I bless these people. I bless the leadership. And Father, I thank you. Father, for a chain reaction of what they received tonight to bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, John. Thank you for putting up with me.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that was so good. Thank you so much. At this time, we're going to take up an offering for Pastor Michael. Thank you. If you're making checks out, make them to Family Church and not to Pastor Michael. Thank you. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for Pastor Michael. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you, for Father, for all things. We just sow into him like he sowed into us, Father God. So we just thank you, Father God. We just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, my servant, the people. Thank you. If we want to stand and worship before we dismiss, thank you, Father. We just thank you, Father, for all that you've done in our midst. We thank you, Father, for your visitation. We just thank you so much, Father God. We just give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.